Somewhere.
Seamless.
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 And on that wonderful start to the evening, welcome to the evening show. Hello, I'm Sandy Crevice, and apparently it really will take more than magic words to keep me awake.
I'm Wilma Fingerdoo, and I always sleep with one eye open, which is why I need to have special eye drops.
I'm Yet Harkness, and I have terminal bedhead.
I'm Norma Snookers, and I'm going to whip up a lovely crochet blanket for my next nap time.
Well, right, while everyone's still awake, let's get some headlines done. Virulent outbreak strikes the naughty step.
Sinister Hedgehog Assistance Group gets everything done.
That damage looks a little sore.
Galactic Pilots Exam Results Day.
And I round off with stats juggling that is the Hutton BGS news.
First this evening, authorities are installing temporary incarceration facilities elsewhere in Hutton Space after reports were received of a particularly nasty batch of mods breaking out centred on the Hutton Naughty Step over in LHS 340. As reported last week, a number of Hutton truckers were struck down with a variety of symptoms after the annual Hutton Trucker Meet down in the Sol system, though the expected full outbreak was contained successfully and didn't spread to the general population. It does appear that the Typhoid Mary superspreader has been identified and appears to be the utterly asymptomatic. Commander Deadmeat was caught on camera at the conference in Sol issuing far too many hugs and sitting in very close proximity to a number of commanders who subsequently came over with palpitations, shortness of breath and sweaty palms. Medics were quick to investigate as usual reactions to proximity to Deadmeat tend to be running, screaming and scowling a lot. On return to sit at the lower step of the Naughty Step, a number of station personnel came down feeling a bit iffy, a sure sign of mods, which then became all of the station personnel having a big dose of the ick and quite a lot of lurgy. The only person on the orbital not affected appears to be Deadmeat, and in fact he appears to be the vector, running around LHS 340 shaking hands with everyone before warning them of the plague. Security services locally have praised the population for not going into panic mode, or rejecting Deadmeat from the nearest airlock, though the station is currently under quarantine and has put out an emergency beacon asking for advanced medicines to be delivered to help them get on top of the situation. When investigating, Nurse Wyeth took a number of swabs from Deadmeat, using a very long stick with a sponge on the end, and of course while wearing the obligatory Hutton hazmat and countersuit, and has concluded that future punishments for transgressions should no longer include encouraging him to scrub cubicle 3 clean with his toothbrush, or at least if he does, not to use it for its original purpose afterwards. For the time being, unless you're delivering medical supplies, please steer clear of LHS 340. Though this is not a new instruction, as followers of the BGS news will be aware. And if you're very naughty, watch out, as punishment detail has been temporarily handed over to the Mad Monks of Van Marnen via their remote outpost in Barnard's Star.
Seamless. Seamless. In the wake of the annual Hutton gathering with friends attached over in Sol, the Hutton Haulage teams were rather perplexed when the Type 6 that they arrived in appeared not to fit all the stuff they were going home with. What at first appeared to be a bit of a sore head while packing, Tetris fail by the loading teams, actually turns out to be a mismatch in the out versus in quota of equipment going back into storage. The team have been hard at work separating the unwanted detritus from the generously donated equipment and came to the following conclusions. 1. The accidental abandonment of the Hutton orbital ceremonial pants was entirely unintended, and Phoenix Defier has been reunited with his hazard-sealed, safety-lit, hermetically and biologically safe containment unit. Mrs. Phoenix Defier did object to his putting it on the very important shelf with all the family photographs, however, but a new secure 12-month storage facility has been located, which is 50 years from the house, 12 feet underground, and covered in a concrete and steel casing, just in case. 2. The pile of SRV tyres outside the main hall have had their serial numbers checked. They've logged in the buckyball racers, they're logged to the buckyball racers. They appear to be waste items as the tyres are showing right through to the mesh weave in places at the end and have bald spots. They have been thrown into the sun as fuel. A large collection of glassware, including bottles, was located and has been sent for recycling. There is no way we're sanitising that lot and reusing them next year, especially in light of our first article this evening. A large blue replica Hutton mug made of our little plastic building blocks will be taken back to the storage and shipping organised to send it to Commander Tisdar. We have tested it for its mods prevention capabilities and concluded that the replica does not perform as well as a genuine Hutton mug. Number 5. A number of abandoned multicoloured sidewinders have been reunited with their owners. Suspicion is that they had been set to self-destruct for fast transportation of their owners back to the home station, but Mr. Dusty has been inside doing the cleaning and accidentally disconnected the wires. 6. 5. Large presentation screens with the remaining items. They appear to be in working order and someone has taken the trouble of labelling them all. Individually packed, however, as they're very big due to their antiquity. They took up most of the cargo hold and caused more than a little bit of shiploading Jenga while they were being reshuffled. But what does the Sinister Hedgehog Assistance Group Gets Everything Done team have to do with all of this? The Sinister Hedgehog Assistance Group Gets Everything Done team, abbreviated to the convenient SHAGD, is a subset of the Hutton Truckers who specialise in discrete haulage operations. In this case, the Sinister Hedgehog has a specially adjusted Type 6 with a number of internal bulkheads rearranged for storage-shaped items, or for strange-shaped items. With a loading emergency declared, the Hedgehog Mobile, which for some reason is slightly sticky on the outside, was pressed into service, rescuing the remaining abandoned equipment and delivering it to Hutton's long-term holding storage facility. Labelled with, do not open until Saturday, 16th August, 3311.
Without wanting to preempt either Volcaris' bit later in the show, or even the Galnet News Digest, who put their own spin on all the biggest stories, explosions and successes in the galaxy from the last week, it appears that the anti-Xeno war machine has been rumbling along this week despite taking a few days off for a party. Titan Thor, as a lord of the Titans, named after an ancient deity from old Earth specialising in thunder, or maybe named after the very day of the week we broadcast this show, has shown signs in recent days of being less of a Titan than it is a big floating free-for-all on the scavenging front. It appears that the Monty Python-esque Volcarius report from last week was delivered just in time, as he would have to come up with another euphemism for it being no more, ceasing to be, pushing up daisies, gone to meet its maker, and other such epithets. Reports that are that Dargoid Defence Forces not caught up in the big surf wave of OMG it has gone boom have moved into position defending the last few remaining Titans appear to be accurate, though commanders who've been at the surgery caffeine-filled drinks handed out for free by the Brewer Corporation have been hunting down the stragglers. Video footage has been emerging of the final throes and thrashing of Thor, And while we have not yet been able to verify the sources, it appears that the Titan has followed its namesake with a light show and thunderous roaring that's sure to have your canine companion hiding under the nearest cushion. The reduction in the number of active combat zones as a result of the Thargoid incursion is concentrating the firepower of the anti-Xeno departments of the superpowers, as well as that of the Pilots Federation's dedicated Thargoid combat wings. And as of yet, Tharg the Mighty and his or her or their head office have not had a response. Are these Titans the best they've got, or is that it? Couple more down and humanity can breathe a sigh of relief, as long as they're nowhere near the big green cloud? Or has this just been an exploratory expedition experiment by the Thargoids to drain humanity's resources in advance of something entirely more sinister? Has it left us exposed to incursion by other, as yet unnamed alien races? Or was it simply a time-wasting exercise while Tharg created the ultimate doom for humanity aboard his or her or their secret base? What is guaranteed is that investment in human/guard-deemed technology no longer appears necessary and no longer required to be fueled by the various war departments of the superpowers. Rumours that galactic gazillionaires are planning on moving the commercial stage of exploitation of this advanced technology are unconfirmed, though Zach Rackham has been buying up a lot of domain names recently and filing sealed patents over in Shinrata. More detail on this story later in the show. Over to you.
Thank you, Norma. Throughout human-occupied space, young and old pilots alike have been eagerly awaiting the results of their galactic pilots' examinations. Whilst many out there in the galaxy inherit a little cobra and 100 credits from a long-lost uncle and cut their teeth in the old-fashioned apprentice fashion, earning their pilot's license through the tried and tested method of having some good insurance, hanging around in the local car park until they've got the hang of the controls, and then having someone screaming in abject panic in the passenger seat while fearing for their lives for a bit. There are others that approve of the more formal approach to education. Pilots Federation sources have indicated that the number of passes is marginally down on last year, as the average grade issued to neophytes after their test flights and extensive examination. Young Stella Smith from Lave Pilots University was one of the first to open her envelope this morning. "I got an A in piloting, a course to Colonia, 2 Bs in scoopable stars and planet identification, and a distinction in exobiology," she said. Classmate Knucklehead Jones was a little less happy though, as he was classed as ungraded in docking operations after repeatedly failing to get his ship out of the docking bay without getting wedged in the toast rack. He's expecting to retake the examination next year, or join the Apex Taxi Service as part of their on-the-job training. A number of students this year have appeared to struggle with Rocky Ring mass lock avoidance and the ever-unpopular Ice Ring parallel parking, having extreme difficulty dropping at mining locations without emergency drops from supercruise. The advanced levels in asteroid mining involving handling of high explosives seem to be on par with last year, as do the BTECs in manual scooping. Those with the highest grades have been approached by the Pilots Federation with an offer to join their ranks and start on their way to gaining elite status in one of the disciplines, while those who are going through clearing have been offered jobs driving those little yellow cars that go round and round and round the inside of the Coriolis stations. Headhunters from the Buckaballers have been seen hanging around a number of educational establishments looking for those who have a talent for driving around at speed without crashing into things. And Alec Turner is said to have a number of advanced scholarships available to pilots with no sense of fear, very little common sense, and a heavy right foot.
Welcome to the Hutton BGS bit, where we have a look at what's happening across the 50 systems where Hutton has a presence. First, let me start with a heartfelt appeal. Could you not do stuff in PSPF LF2? It's up at about 80%, we're in the middle of an expansion from there, and I can see it has a boom going. But so do lots of other places. LP532-81, Wolf562, Wolf25, and Wolf124 are all too high. Not a lot of systems, but best left alone until they come back into the 40 to 60% influence window. You know he is in boom, as it is Wolf359, Kokari, and 36 Ophiuchi. There's an outbreak in full swing in Wise 0855-0714, and there's a public holiday in Ross 671, so it looks like they celebrate Intergalactic Tooth Fairy Day there. The great Barnard Star investment continues, and the Renzies, we have gone into an election with the Green Party of Samini. Should we have been in an election with them before? In BD074419, we have gone to war with the Legion's Armada. We don't own any assets there, so there's a chance to get ourselves some property. And you're wondering, yeah, but what does it all mean? Well, if you want to truck it, then go to Narensis and truck it for Hutton in the election. Peaceful missions and trade are king here. Or, you could truck medical supplies to Y0855-0714 for profits and good karma. If you want to shoot it, then get yourself over to BD074419 and shoot it for Hutton. And don't forget to pick up a Hutton war mission or two while you're there. Violence and mayhem are the order of the day in war-torn systems. And that's it for this week's BGS Update.